The Discovery of Fire. Legend hath it that Prometheus brought down fire from heaven. But the truth is far simpler. For it was man himself who discovered fire. Thousands of years ago, two of our cold and miserable ancestors huddled together for warmth in their cave, their only barrier against death by freezing, their fur skins, in which they were wrapped, shivering. Their sole protection against the savage beasts outside were their primitive stone axes. Suddenly, their stone axes clashed together as they shivered in the freezing night air. The sparks from those axes fell upon the dry rushes on the floor of the cave. And fire was born. Disbelieving the evidence of their own eyes, our ancestors tried to touch this new miracle. They both tried to find a way of expressing their wonder, to give a name to this marvelous new thing.
And here at NATO headquarters, high-ranking military commanders are busily working out the master plan for the defense of the NATO alliance. Generals from the United States of America, Great Britain, Western Germany, and Turkey are involved in a tabletop simulated attack and defense exercise of Western democracy. The hill model terrain is covered with scale model tanks, guns, and even scale jet fighters.
Well now, gentlemen, I think our plan B would be best in these circumstances. Now, we will attack on this narrow front here, utilizing 500 of our new Mark V battle tanks.
Was ist los, Hüggener?
The Mark V, General Spitzenschnauzer. Yes, we're going to carry out the maneuver using Mark V tanks.
Was?
Oh, blast it. Yes, where's the interpreter? Yeah. Colonel Witherspoon, would you come over here for a minute, Colonel?
Sir!
Witherspoon, will you tell General von Spitzenschnauzer that we are carrying out the maneuver using Mark V tank?
Sir!
Herr General von Spitzenschnauzer?
Herr Dolmetsch?
Wir haben ein Manöver auszuführen, der Panzerwagen Nummer 5.
Jawohl, sehr gut, sehr gut.
Sir! Oh, yes. First class, Witherspoon. Tell General Ahmed Ben Dover, the Turkish chap, will you?
Sir! General Ben Dover, salam alaikum. Alaikum, salam. Albar milal min malbakale amale makba.
Well done, Witherspoon, yes. Oh, by George, I nearly forgot. Will you explain it to General Knockenlocker, the American commander? Don't want any misunderstandings.
Sir! General Knockenlocker, sir.
What can I do for you, Mac?
Well, it's like this, General, you know. We're going to carry out that stinking goddamn maneuver using the stinking Mark V tank. You get me?
I gotcha. Great.
Yes. All understood, sir.
Oh, splendid, Witherspoon. I don't know what I'd do without you. Now, what about a nice cup of tea?
What? Oops. Oh, dear.
Was machst du, mein General? Mein Panzerwagen, Sturmkopf! Mein Panzerwagen, es ist kaputt! Du hast kaputt mein Panzerwagen!
What are you talking about? I never touched this bloody Panzerwagen.
Verdammte Mal! Mein kleiner Panzerwagen macht kaputt!
I say, I think I understood that. I never went near the
bloody... Mulli, lima, laba, kut, balala. Un minikalas, ulika, damula,
ulika, balala. Get in the creepy, bloody great nose out of
Sir. Yes, bloody great nose, sir, yes. Yeah. That is, sir, yes.
General, Alimendo, Alexei, Le Kulma. Dilma, Bibilese, Schnutzola.
Dulma, Bibilese, Malaga. Akutibele, Malaga, Mitiadula, Malaga. Uniminiaka, Uniminiaka, Nyaka, Nyaka.
See, my tank. Colonel Witherspoon at the double.
You tell that no good son of a bedwine Arab to keep his cotton picking, chicken plucking hands off of my tank. You understand? You hear me?
Chicken plucking with a spoon, and do be nice, frightfully careful.
General Bendover, Machmar Balabin, Billy, Machpokulia, check cotton picking. Yeah, the cotton maha, picky picky, Nilamala, could have been.
What did he say?
The mastoof, you mean. Yes, well, loosely translated, it means that he suggests you go and visit the house of Abdul the taxidermist.
What? I'll teach that shorn-off little camel driver to tell me to get stuffed. Get that, and that, and that.
Okay, no good, desert gopher. This means war.
Oh, you need smash.
I'm going nuclear. I'm pressing the
key. Bang, 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 bang.
Well, that about does it. Who's for a cup of instant tea?
My dear Lucrezia Borgia, last night's dinner party was delightful. The dinner was superb. I so enjoyed the mushrooms.
And in the studio with me, I have Mr. Charles Hole, the multimillionaire who made his fortune by becoming the world's leading demolition expert. How do you start becoming a demolition expert, Mr. Hole?
Yes, well, it cut to me natural-like. I come from a broken home. You see, I started as a juvenile vandal, smashing up other kids' toys. Then I smashed up the kindergarten and graduated from that and knocked me down the old bleeding school. Now, this qualified me to become a fully-fledged juvenile delinquent, tearing down telephone boxes, ripping lead off roofs, smashing up the local church, etc., doing up the vicar. And it was while I was in Borstal Remand Home that I met a man who was to change my whole life.
The padre?
Oh, not the bleeding padre. Reckon Morant. His granddad was Breaker Morant. He was in for demolition.
I didn't know that demolition was a felony.
Well, it is when you demolish a police station. Well, Ricker and I went into partnership when we came out, and soon we got the big jobs. Cool. Old London Bridge, Kensal Rise Gasworks, slum clearance, followed by demolition of the high-rise blocks which replaced the slums. Oh, yeah, big stuff, big money. And then Wrecker had the misfortune to suffer a fatal accident. The poor bastard stepped in front of my demolition ball. He never knew what hit him. So I inherited the business. I done right by Wrecker, though. Buried him with full demolition honours. I caved in the old council offices on top of him. Very moving it was, very moving.
I have here some recordings of your greatest triumphs, Mr. Hole.
Oh, yeah, that was a good old Ignaz Municipal Bars. What a smash-up that was. Cool. That's where I met the wife. She was swimming at the time.
Do you recognise this one?
East Ham Palace Variety Theatre. Many's the time I heard Dad tell of his dream about the old East Ham Palace.
What dream was that?
Well, I used to dream he was knocking it down.
Oh, I see. He was in the demolition business as well.
Oh! He was a music hall comic.
Oh. And finally, here is a famous, even historic recording of your greatest achievement, a demolition triumph.
In all modesty, that was my masterpiece. The Owl of East Dagenham, York for the County Council, with a contract on the side for the General Motors Company.
A site clearance for a new car factory?
No, I smashed up bloody Fords for them. Ha, no one noticed. As usual, Fords was on fleet and strike.
Have you any unrealized ambition, Mr. Hull? Some unfulfilled dream of demolition on a grand scale?
Yes. There's a site in Westminster needs demolishing.
The old war offices?
Yeah, it's in the bloody Parliament.
Thank you, Charles Hole.
My pleasure, Mr. Belkind.
Yes, the door's over there, sir.
Who needs a bleeding door?
That's the biggest mistake you can make.
It's 11 and a half minutes past 10.
Now then, for those of you who don't know the rules...
Outside the great bulk of the ex-Viceroy of India's palace, a tall bamboo platform towers into the sky, built specially by the Boy Scouts of India. This splendid tall wooden structure provides a lofty platform from which Lord Notching, Her Majesty's permanent Undersecretary for Commonwealth and Subsidies, is to make his speaking thanks for the great welcoming crowd gathered here today to celebrate the new £400 million loan to the Islamic country.
Your Excellency, the 400 stairs are to symbolize the generosity of the United Kingdom in granting this loan to our humble country. I assure you, Mr. Foreign Minister, without portfolio, left it behind, is too heavy to carry up to the greeting platform. To assure you and your great people of the United Kingdom's continuing goodwill and our spirit of Commonwealth unity. This platform has been built by the skill and the extreme devotion of the Boy Scout movement in India. Designed to give this vast crowd of welcoming citizens of this great city a chance to see in person the magnificent representative of the United Kingdom. I'd like to thank them and present to you, Minister, the token check in exchange for your signed token receipt.
Certainly.
But first, let me present you with some small gifts, locally made, as a humble token of our heartfelt gratitude. Please accept this brass-bound Bengali book, lead-lined and heavily encrusted with almost precious local stones. I should now like to address the mob, the crowd. Also, please to accept for your charming lady wife this elephant's foot umbrella stand filled with deep water. Yes, how charming. I should always treasure it. I shall put it in the... where shall we put it, Mildred?
Well, yes. Well, I think we could put it in the most prominent place that I can find. Thank you so much.
Yes, yes, well, now perhaps I can get on with the hamburger.
And lastly, from the elephant product factory at Lahore, please to accept this truly unique elephant cast. With between them this great uncast bronze well of friendship.
Good Lord.
Where the devil can we put that mirror? It's hideous. Expect it to have a bubble to its other piece.
Aren't you pleased to accept this solid lead and deep brass inlaid life-size figure of Carly the Destroyer?
Also the ebony dining table and the set of 12 mahogany chairs to go with them. And finally, this small feather fan made from the wings of 200 Indian hummingbirds. Also, please accept my sincere apology for this monumental cock-up.
I once heard a tribute live many years ago on radio to the great Australian songbird Dame Nellie Melba. Unfortunately, the 78 record that they played was so scratched and actually had a crack in it, so the thing repeated itself because there was nothing that they could do about it. And I was so intrigued by this, and it stuck in my mind. So I devised this piece, which I call The Life Story of Dame Nellie Drongo, the Australian Songbird. 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 I think that you'll recognize the next voice that you hear. Yes, that was the voice of that immortal Australian songbird, Dame Nellie Drongo. Her story's a heartwarming one. It all started in the small Australian outback town of Wagga Wagga. Nellie and her brothers, Fred and Bert Drongo, were helping out at the Wagga Wagga State Show.
Where's the pink slaughtering? Where's little Nellie Drongo? Where you going, Nell? Rip off a song from Gil.
Yeah, my favorite, Nell. All through the night, there's a little brown bird singing, Nell. All through the night, there's a little brown bird singing, singing,
yeah.
Singing.
Nell's singing, stuck, Bert. Singing, give her a shot.
Singing, singing in the hush of the darkness and the dew.
The citizens of Wagga Wagga showered Nellie with money so that she could go to Milan, Paris, London, New York, anywhere but Wagga Wagga. Bert Drongo takes up the story.
With money donated by our friends, we set sail for Italy and Milan, where Nellie had an introduction to Signor Minestrone, the great singing teacher.
To what do I, the great Minestrone, Italy's former singing teacher, oh, the great pleasure of your visit, Miss Drongo.
Drongo? Nellie Drongo? This letter of introduction from my singing teacher in Australia, Miss Ethel Gargle, will explain all, Signor.
Dear Signor Minestrone, this is to introduce my pupil, Miss Nellie Drongo. She has a most unusual voice. Signed, yours ever, Ethel Gargle, Miss. So, you have an introduction from Miss Ethel Gargle from Australia. One question, Miss Banjo.
Drongo?
Drongo. Who the hell is Miss Ethel Gargle of Australia?
Ah, yes. Well, this other letter of introduction will explain everything.
Dear Signor Minestrone, this is to introduce my singing teacher, Miss Ethel Gargle. She's a very unusual singing teacher, as before her sex change, she was Arthur Dangle, a gold miner from Kalgoorlie. Your server, Nellie Drongo. Well, yeah. So that little matter is cleared up. Now let me hear you sing, Miss Drongo, so that I, Signor Minestrone, the greatest singing teacher in all Italy, can dedicate my life to teaching you to sing the Minestrone way. With cheese.
All through the night, there's a little brown bird singing, singing.
Give him a shot, Fred.
Singing,
yeah, right.
Singing, singing in the hush of the darkness.
That's a lie.
time that you...
Yeah, Nellie's voice was a bit much for Sig Norman Astroni. And at the funeral, Nell was introduced to everyone as the great maestro's last pupil. The McAstroni family was impressed by Nell's honest, wholesome, dinky-dye Australian personality and got her a job at La Scala Milan at the Opera House as an understudy to Sophie Bellani. Fred and I got jobs as stagehands working high up in the fly gallery of the Scala, right above the stage, far below. We were determined that Nellie would get her chance as an understudy to La Bologna. Yeah, we've got to give Nellie her big chance, Fred.
Yeah, Bert, yeah. Ah, yeah, hey. Those sandbag counterweights. Yeah, one of them fell in La Bologna. Nellie would be on, eh, Bert?
Oh, you're right, Fred.
Now, Bert, drop your sandbag.
Over a bit, Fred.
Yeah. Now, Bert. Yeah, let's play. Bombs away. Hey, Nellie. You're on, girl. You're on.
Yeah, you're on, Nell.
The next morning, Nellie got a telegram.
Oh, it's a telegram. It says, heard you sing last night. Ah, we want you to sing at the Metropolitan Opera House, New York.
Ah, marvellous, Nell.
Ah, marvellous, Nell. The management. La Scala Milan.
2 weeks later, Nellie opened at the Metropolitan in Tuscan. And the next morning, Nellie got another telegram.
Ah, what an opening night. You must sing at the Covent Garden. Ah, signed the management. The Metropolitan, New York.
Nellie was already a legend in her own lifetime, having been in such a short time at La Scala, the Metropolitan, and now soon to open at Covent Garden. Then Telegnancia flocked to our rooms in Bayswater. Nellie was the perfect hostess of these sparkling affairs.
Tea, Mr. Bernard Shaw?
Thank you, Snow. A tile,
A kangaroo tail sandwich, Mr. Gladstone?
Quite right, Miss Congo. We must keep Gibraltar.
A pork pie, Mr. Disraeli?
Oh, it's chicken. Cold.
Crumpet, Mr. Oscar Wilde?
Never touch it. Dear Nellie, do call me Oscar.
Oh, if you are mad! Hey!
Even royalty entertained our Nellie, and she became the Melbourne toast of London. I will always remember that night when we had dinner with Her Majesty and His Royal Highness Prince Albert at the Crystal Palace.
I understand, dearest Albert, that this strong girl is a veritable Australian nightingale.
You're damn right, Vicky, my little Liebchen. She's got a voice like you never heard before, so they say. Vicky, my little pumpernickel, maybe turns you on like a fire hose already yet. How's about after the show, Munchkin?
Oh,
my palace for yours, eh?
Behave. You're not amused. Not amused. Now, Miss Dago, Drongo, ma'am, your majesty, these are me brothers, Fred and Bert. Quite delighted, yes, Miss Drongo. Perhaps you will favour us with a rendition of something. Gilbert and Sullivan, perhaps, or rather sing Brown Bird, your majesty. You see, it's the only one I bloody know.
Oh, the cheeky bully.
As you wish, Miss Drongo. An artist, Albert, should always choose her favorite. Sing, child. Oh, through the night, there's a little brown bird singing. Singing, the strong girl, shot. Singing, singing, through the hush of the darkness and the dew.
Hey! Fine goes to Alpha Crystal Palace. Oh, but just my old man.
And bang went our Nellie's voice. I was trying with all the excitement. Nellie's larynx collapsed. That great voice was silent. Sir Victor, you are the greatest throat specialist in Europe. Can't you do something to give our Nellie back her voice?
Yes, we attempt to graft into your sister's throat the larynx of a bull. It's known as bull shift.
2 weeks later, Sir Victor told us the outcome of his now famous operation.
Complete success. Complete success. Just listen to your sister now. Such a radical change of voice. Indeed, a new professional identity. How about bull ribs?
Good as heaven, help. Bloody fantastic.